Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe?
I am excellent. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. You're back in the office.
Yeah, as you can see, look around me. This is not my lounge. It's my first official day back in the office today.
How does it feel? Is it weird?
It is a bit weird, to be honest. It was a bit weird getting up, doing a commute in the pissing rain, but also being really hot, like trying to carry all my stuff and blah blah blah. It's nice to kind of hang around with people again, and I don't know, feels a bit, almost a bit old fashioned. I don't know, it's hard to explain. But also that's why if I sound a bit funny today, that's why I'm not in my normal setting. Have you been? What's been going on? You've started your new job.
Yeah, started my new job last week, which just went so well. It's been having so much fun. I was in studio recording Friday. Really good, thank you, babe. I think because obviously 10 years of being a cast member, it's when I'm going to sex, obviously in studio on a Friday, I have a different cast member will be coming in every week to talk to me about the episode that's airing. But obviously in the week I'm going to location whilst the cast are filming their scenes. So I can't even.
Does it feel quite odd to be doing this? Because it is, like you said, you know these people and all that. And is it quite odd to be on the other side of it now? Because you've obviously been interviewed before for TOWIE and things. I've interviewed you before.
It's not the interviewing that's weird, actually, because I think I've interviewed quite a lot of the cast, that's been here on FUBAR, or whether it's been for my new magazine, Get Gobby with Bobby, or for something. So it's not so much that. It's kind of, and I guess it was probably just the first couple of days more so, it's kind of going to filming and seeing cast go into their scenes and me stood off camera waiting for them to finish to then grab them for a chat. But no, I'm loving it. It's been so much fun. Like, I've only done the first studio day, so because a couple of weeks in advance. But it's a great thing for, like, I love it. Like, it's right up my street, you know what I mean?
It's like a
dream job, really, like, because I kind of feel like it's still very much part of the TOWIE family, but it kind of, it just feels like the time's so right. Great stuff.
Awesome. My weekend was a little bit drunken, a little bit messy. Went out to celebrate Pride with some of my rowing friends and some other friends. It ended up, I was probably drinking for about 13, 14 hours, which is quite a long time. So Sunday was definitely a bit of a write-off.
Was there a great atmosphere out and about uptown?
Yeah, really good uptown. it was really nice. It was just nice to kind of, although there was obviously none of the normal Pride proceedings, no march or glitter cannons, there was lots of, like, drag queens around and prosecco and people just having a nice time, and just kind of glad to be out and about and around one another again. I mean, obviously we've spoken about a million times, COVID is, like, still going around, but most of the time people were kind of standing outside or trying to be as safe as you can be, really, in the current situation. Most people I know are double vaccinated. It's kind of, you just got to get on with it, I think. It was just kind of nice to be out and partying with the gays, really, I would say.
I love it. Painting the street crimson.
Yeah, certainly were. Just nice.
Really, I think it's going to be an amazing one next year, where we haven't, I know some places have still managed to have their Pride events, which is amazing. Obviously London, this is our second year where we haven't. So I do think it's going to be an amazing one next year. We've got 2 years to make up for, so I reckon we're going all out. I can't wait already.
I definitely think it'll be a crazy one. I might have to put the Monday off work. It might be one of those 2-day hangover.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, but all but other than that, it's all pretty good. Well, we have an exciting show today. We have from Ready to Mingle, we have Malcolm Modell up first, and then we have Vinegar Strokes, who's been on the show before from Drag Race UK, and Joe McKeldry is also joining us. So lots of people to be chatting to. But it's also been an extremely busy week for Showbiz News, hasn't it, Bob?
Oh, it's all going on. I literally don't know where to start. What's caught your eye?
Well, I have to say, top of the list for me is Britney Spears getting engaged.
How lovely is that?
Yeah, is it? This is my concern. This is what I worry about.
Talk to me. What's concerning you, Steve?
Well, you know, I don't know her, so obviously, you know, she can do whatever the hell she wants in her life. But you know, she's got engaged to this guy, Sam. Not this guy, actually. They've been together for like 5 years, I think. Sam Asghari, who's like a model and a fitness coach and very, very attractive man. let's not beat around the bush. Yeah, he finally popped a question to her just shortly after her dad obviously petitioned to be removed as her conservator. So things are clearly moving on in her life. She's managing to sort of continue to live her life after having it on hold for such a long time. But what worries me is, well, first of all, when the news went up, all of the comments underneath on Instagram were just, make him sign a prenup.
And you think, really?
You think, obviously, she's been married twice before, hasn't she? Yeah. And obviously, both times ended not particularly well. And I don't know, obviously she is her own woman. She's free to do as she wishes. And I obviously wish her the best. It's just, you do worry that she's always got people around her that need her for something. I think it would have been maybe good for her to have spent a little bit of time not tied to someone. But maybe that's just me. What do you think?
I mean, I'm just so happy for her that things seem to be heading in the direction now that this is all being lifted. Because I know we've spoken about this before. I could never truly understand how this many years on, that was still in play. We obviously don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but I just think the job she was doing, to me it seemed as an outsider that the girl was still, she was getting up, going to work, she was doing a Vegas tour. Like I couldn't see the reason why someone would be in that situation. I mean, obviously years ago, there's no denying it, she's come on leaps and bounds. Yeah. And reading that she couldn't change her kitchen units, that to me was just odd. I thought, if a girl can go out and earn however many hundreds of millions of pounds, why can't she go down Wixing or Home Base and get some kitchen cupboards? Yeah. But I'm just happy that things seem to be going in the right direction for hopefully it's, because like you say, they've been together about 4 or 5 years, haven't they?
Yeah. So it's not a short relationship, and I think that's probably on his side. If he really wasn't into it, you probably wouldn't last 5 years, would you? I mean,
I guess like you say, though, I can see maybe why people would automatically like if it literally seems like it's being lifted now, and then he's kind of put a ring on it, and there's people going, but I'm sure she will kind of have her wits about her now.
Yeah, should hope so. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens next. If they get down to Vegas and they're you know, at the Little White Chapel or whatever it is, or if they're going to have a big showbiz thing, or who knows? I guess.
Well, she's done the old Vegas one before. She wasn't it like 72 hours or something?
Yeah, exactly right. maybe she's a bit put off Vegas. But also, it's not like she's kind of a celebrity with loads of celebrity friends or anything, is it? She's not. You don't see her like at showbiz parties and stuff. So I can imagine, and also she's fallen out with a lot of her family. So I wonder if it will just be a small private thing. I wonder.
Low key. Yeah. I think considering the height of her fame, she does seem quite, she isn't one of these celebs that you just see plastered everywhere, out and about.
Definitely not anymore, no.
No, she definitely seems to, I think she kind of likes her private life to be just that. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was quite a low, I mean, low key as you can be when you're Britney Spears, let's have it right. I'm sure it's going to be a lovely old day. But I wonder how long they'll wait, if they'll do it really quick or... Because now is officially, is that all in place now? They said like it's lifted now the dad's agreed.
No. So it's like the first stage is him saying, I'll take myself out of it. I think as far as I know, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, the conservatorship is still under, you know, she's still under it for now, but it's basically coming to an end at some point soon. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. What about you? Has there been any showbiz news you've taken your eye this week?
I mean, obviously, we spoke about the awful news about Sarah Harding last week, saying that it was going to be their 20th anniversary next year. And I'm loving that there's kind of reports that there could be a charity concert that the four girls are going to put on. I really hope they do that. I think that'd be a lovely thing to do. And as a Girls Aloud fan, I'm already there. You know what
I mean? They're talking about it's just as a one-off gig, aren't they? But I would imagine that there's probably demand to see a bit more than that. I wonder if they might do a one-off gig and see how it goes. And because obviously they were, before Sarah's diagnosis, they were talking about doing a performance for their 20th anniversary, like we said. So, yeah, to do it in Sarah's memory and in aid of some kind of charity event or something, I think would be great.
I think it'd be a lovely thing to do. And yeah, I honestly think that the fans would love it, and it would be done in such a lovely way, and anything that kind of raises awareness and in Sarah's memory as well. And 20 years, that is a celebration, you know.
100%.
And so that would definitely be something lovely. I really hope they do that. I think it's going to be a very hard, if it is just a one-off, I think it's going to be a very hard to get tickets for. That is going to be a sellout. You know, when they just can't, you get these ones that go out in like 60 seconds. I think it'll be one of them.
People are left on Ticketmaster
waiting not even able to put their bank details
in. No, I mean, I'd be exactly the same. I was lucky enough to see them on their 10 tour, which would have been, I guess, 2012 or 2013. That was incredible. Obviously, I think Sarah's influence will be really greatly missed, because she was a unique voice in the band, and also like a unique character. There's none of the others quite had that same kind of, I mean, people have said this, Nicola said it herself the other day, that kind of rock and roll energy that she did have. So that will be missed. But at the same time, you know, the songs are fabulous and they're great together. So, I mean, I can't imagine that they won't want to perform in some way, even in just to honour Sarah's memory.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just can't believe that it's 20 years. I literally remember watching Pop Stars, The Rivals, and because there was the boy band as well. What was they called? Was it One True Voice?
One True Voice, yeah.
And they had to, that was in competition, who was going to get the Christmas number one.
Yeah.
And I've got to think, gosh, 20 years. It's kind of exactly the same when it's the when it was September the 11th at the weekend. I kind of thought, isn't it just, it's just mad how quick time goes, and you kind of have these moments where you're like, it's just it, I remember being little and people going, the older you get, time goes quick, and I thought, how can it possibly, but it certainly does.
But let's keep our fingers crossed for this gig next year, whatever it is.
Absolutely. What do you think about the Nicki Minaj stuff on social media? Have you seen it?
I certainly have. This is her basically admitting that she's not got her vaccine because someone's cousin somewhere has had an inflamed testicle as a result of it, and blah, blah, blah. And it basically meant that she didn't go to the Met Gala because they were only having celebrities there that had been double vaxxed. I don't know. I think it's a bit bad form, really. You, to be in her position with as many fans as she's got, spreading misinformation, I don't know. It worries me a bit, because it will prevent people from getting the jab, and that prevents the pandemic from, well, not coming to an end, at least lessening, you know. So I'm not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, like yourself, I think it's, when you've got such a fan base and a following, because there's no denying there are people out there that, and everyone to their own and decide what you want to do, but there are some people that are either scared, and then you've got a pool of people that still don't believe in COVID, which sounds weird saying that, because it's like we're talking about a tooth fairy or something else. So you've got your people that don't believe in it, or the people that don't want to be vaccinated. So with someone with such a following, when they say something like that so openly and publicly, if anyone was in half minds or doubt in any way, it can be, it's a It's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one, and let's just hope that it doesn't put people off from getting it. You know, both you and I are double jabbed, and we're both still here to talk about it. So
absolutely,
and everyone else I know who's had both jabs has not grown a fourth hand, or a, well, even a third hand, or you know, like a or had a brain tumor or anything. You know, so like it's important.
Because I hadn't even heard of a side effect of anyone. And I mean, did she say that her cousin's friends become impotent?
Yeah. But it's a bit, it just sounds a bit hearsay, doesn't it? It's like my cousin's friend. It's a bit like, I would have thought she'd know better than that. But yeah, well.
I mean, yeah, like you say, we're both double jabs. And I'll quite openly say, if I'm offered a booster, I'll take it.
Yeah,
so I'm happy to be triple jabbed.
Yeah, give me all them jabs. Jab me up, baby.
Give me that AstraZeneca.
Yeah. On that note, our first guest, Malcolm Medel, is here, so from Ready to Mingle. So let's get him in to chat. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
That is a very professional camera setup you've got there, Malcolm. I'm very impressed.
Well, if you see what's going on behind here, you'll understand. It's one of the things I do. I actually have a production company, and this is one of the things I do is high-end live streaming.
Wow, okay.
It's on only, point.
Only the best for you guys, you know.
As you say, as I'm sitting in an office building with this terrible overhead light, and blah, blah.
Oh, well, I'm in bed.
straight from bed, as normal, Bob. So welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about Ready to Mingle and what it's about and what people can expect from the show.
So Ready to Mingle is basically, in a nutshell, it's 12 guys in a house, and some of them are single and some of them are not. There's one lady in the house, Sophia, her name is, and her mission is to find out who's single and who's not. And there's 50 grand at stake. So if she chooses someone right at the end and that person's in a relationship, that person and their partner take home the 50 grand. But if Sophia chooses someone who's single, then she's obviously chosen right, and they take the 50K and split the money. But there's a bit of a twist. The partners are in another house watching and helping their partners.
Sounds incredible. I mean, it's such a great concept, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It was basically what people can expect, or is it, you know, it's already airing at the moment. I think it's probably about another 2 weeks of airtime left with it. It's getting saucy as we stand. Every night it gets saucier and saucier, and tensions flare, and there's people bonding, you know, friends being made, there's enemies being made. It's a good concept. It was a great show to be a part of.
So how willing are the guys to fool Sophia into thinking they're single? Obviously knowing their partners are in another house watching, are they, is there no holds barred? Are they going in?
I think so. I mean, I'm obviously in a relationship. People know this now. You know, when myself and my partner Daisy, you know, first decided to go on this experience, let's call it, you know, on paper it's like, yeah, we can do this, we could do anything that's necessary, we're going to go all out all of the way, you know. But then when you're actually in that environment, we just thought, you know, we're actors as well, both of myself and Daisy, and you know, we just thought, oh, it's just acting, you know, it's pretending. It's actually not, you're actually playing with people's emotions. So myself, I couldn't go ahead, or didn't go ahead and didn't do anything that I feel would jeopardize my future with the person I love and care about. That being said, it's, you know, it's not knocking the people that have gone far and gotten past boundaries on the show, which there have been some, but that's what people signed up for. That's what people agreed to. Everybody knows what's going on. There's been no wool pulled over anyone's eyes. Everyone's agreed and signed up to do whatever they're capable of doing. No, you know, the TV channel are not forcing anybody to, you know, kiss another girl while they're in a relationship. That's down to them as an adult. So yeah, there's people going all the way. There's people gone all the way. Myself, I couldn't do it, but, you know.
It must be incredibly hard. And like you say, everyone knows what they've signed up for, and everyone knows the situation and what the show is about.
Yeah.
But it must take a very strong relationship to be able to sit and watch your partner cracking on with someone else, even though you know you're only in it for the 50 grand. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, to me, it was a bit of a test as well, you know. My partner, I love very much. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with her. And, you know, after what we've just been through as a society, as a globe, as a nation, you know, with the big C, you know, that's been a test in itself. But then to go on a show like this and to pull through stronger like we have done, it just solidifies the feelings and emotions you have that, you know, you can go through anything and trust each other and know that we're spending the rest of our lives with each other and that's all that matters.
Did you think, though, obviously you said that you're both actors. Did you may have to kiss someone else in a role or something like that. Were you not viewing it like that because it was a real person? Was that the difference with this then?
Yeah, well, initially, you know, that's the way it is when you get on a film set. And, you know, myself and my partner, Daisy, we both had to do things like this, you know, kiss other people on set. Daisy recently had to be in a strip scene where she had to bite a stripper's nipple. You know, it happens. We're actors where, you know, we go all the way if we need to. But then when, you know, you go in ready to mingle house, you know, whereas we're acting, you know, myself, Daisy, the other contestants, but Sophia isn't, you know, Sophia can get hurt. Sophia doesn't know who's in a relationship and who isn't. And that's what separated it. That's what changed the mindset, is that we are actually playing with potentially someone's true and real emotions because they are unaware of who's in a relationship and who's not. Sophia does know that there are people in here who are in relationships and who are not, but, you know, it's still playing with someone's emotions, and it wasn't for me.
How did Daisy find the experience?
She found it tough at times, you know, just like I did. It was difficult because we just spent just over a year spending every waking minute of the day next to each other and doing everything together to then be both separated. And there were tough times for both of us. Mm-hmm. You know, there were times and things in there that I had to do. One of them being a striptease on a talent show that we did for as one of the challenges. You know, I can understand and imagine how that affected her, having to see your man, you know, strip on another woman. But like I said, you know, we knew what we agreed when we went in. You know, it's not affected us. And like I said, it's made us stronger. So it's an experience. It's a story to tell. You know, it's a string to the bow, whatever you want to call it. But I thought it was a phenomenal experience. It's made me stronger as an individual. It's made our relationship stronger. I know it's made Daisy stronger as well.
I can't wait to see how the series concludes at the end now. I want to know whether she picks someone single or someone in a relationship.
Oh, you'll have to find out. Yeah.
Malcolm, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Where can we watch the show
moment? You can watch the show every night at 9 p.m. from Monday to Friday on ITV2, and then catch up on the weekends on Saturday, or you can stream the whole thing on ITV Hub, and they're releasing 5 episodes at a time. So I think if you tune in around now, you'll probably be able to catch up on 10 episodes.
Awesome.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much for joining us, Malcolm.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Cheers. A lovely evening. Take care. Stay safe.
Bye.
I don't think I could do it, Bob. I'll be honest. I don't think I could go in there with a boyfriend and try and
watch
them. I don't think. Could you?
I don't think I could do either way. I don't think I could be the one in the house trying to crack on knowing my partner's watching, having a partner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or being the partner having to watch that. I don't know which one's worse.
Yeah, I think that's tough. But obviously, you know, Malcolm managed to get through it. So
completely. So, like you say, if you're in that strong relationship and you know, and you've just got your eyes on the prize and you're after that 50 grand, you've got to be in a very, very, you've got to be very assured in your relationship to do it, though. But hats off.
Definitely hats off. Yeah, totally. Well, sounds like a great concept for a programme. But our second guest, Vinegar, is here. So let's chat with them.
Perfect.
Hello,
Dane Vinegar.
Hello, I've just got back from Copenhagen, so everything's a bit like, well, what's going on?
Wow, busy. I thought you were at the premiere last night, weren't you?
It was a hologram. I wasn't really there. It was just
like,
I got back. I'm gonna say just got back. I got back yesterday morning. So, but feels like I'm like just trying to like figure out life and whatnot. So yeah. How are you guys? Okay.
Yeah, really good.
Thank you. Really good.
Much better for seeing you. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Nice to meet you, Bobby, as well.
And you, Bob, and you.
Oh yeah, I'm good though. All good here. Just, you know, I've got a gig tonight as well. After you guys, I've got a my first out of drag stand up comedy gig. So I'm like, what's going on? I've had no time to like sort out the set. So I'm like, okay, this works. I can say that. So
we'll try and keep it brief for you then, Vinegar. So you
oh no, it's all good. It's all good. I've got an hour, so we're all good. Yeah, so I'm
okay,
all yours.
Okay. Well, yeah, you were out and about last night. I saw you were at the everyone's talking about Jamie premiere.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was amazing. Obviously, like, you know, that I did the show for like two years. So it was like a full-on, like, full circle moment. I remember when they said about having the film, I was like, right, I will definitely be at the premiere and that kind of stuff. And luckily I actually got there because obviously I had to fly back from Denmark and whatnot. But yeah, just a very emotional, full circle, nostalgic moment, you know. So yeah, I had the best time.
I can't wait to go and see it. You know, I've not actually seen the show, but I've heard it's so incredible. But yeah. I'm now at that stage where I have us to see the show before I see the film.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they're both quite slightly different as well because they've added some extra stuff to the film, which isn't in the musical. So, so there's a couple of extra songs in there. A few songs have been taken out. So it feels very fresh to me because it's a different. Even though it's the same story and same characters and whatnot, it feels very fresh because there's all these new moments in there, and they touch on a really amazing moment about AIDS and in the 80s and that kind of stuff, which I think is really important. So yeah, I think it's ticking all the boxes for sure. So I think you'll love the show and also love the film. So get on it, babes. We'll go together, Bobby. All right,
let's do it.
But this is obviously only one thing that's going on with you at the moment. You've got like a million different things going on. Tell us a little bit about Karaoke Club.
Oh my God, Karaoke Club. Yeah, so we filmed that quite, I can't remember when we filmed it now, but we did it, it happened. I was very drunk. But yeah.
Part of the show, right?
Yeah, so we had a little tipple as we're singing, because you know, it's supposed to emulate a proper karaoke bar.
Yeah.
And I think drag queens and gin just kind of go hand in hand, you know? But we filmed that a few months ago now, but yeah, it's a really like really fun competition where you can kind of go in and kind of have a laugh, but also you're kind of fighting to be like, you know, the queen of karaoke. So yeah, it was a great time, great experience.
Was it quite competitive? Were some people taking it far more serious than others?
You know what? I didn't realize how like competitive it was going to be, because I went in going, right, let's sing a few songs, have a nice time and that kind of stuff. And I would just kind of give it what I would do normally in a bar if I was doing karaoke. Well, some people were bringing the full-on production, costume, Mariah Carey note, you know, tucks were popping in and out, who knows? So it was a full-on experience. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have, like, changed my wig a couple of times. Who knows? But yeah, so I think some people really went in to win, and I think I went in just to have a drink and have a good old time.
I think that's the best way, because I don't know if it's just me, but the minute someone takes karaoke too seriously, it's no longer what I want it to be. Like, say, have a few little drinks, a few gins or a porn star martini,
right.
Go and sing a little song and see it for what it is. But when people start thinking it's X Factor...
we want people to come up to you afterwards and say, oh my God, you're so good, you should do the X Factor, when really they're saying, you were terrible, but you know,
well done you.
Yeah, you're right. I think if you take it too seriously, it does like suck the fun out of it. So yeah, I think a lot of people were like, I'm gonna win this show, I need to win something. I was like, I'm just happy for the free gin. I'm just happy.
Yeah.
there's some celebs involved as well, aren't there? I got a little press. There's Nadine Coyle and Sophie Ellis Bextor. There's like a couple of decent singers coming in.
Isn't that amazing? Like all these amazing, like iconic female like pop stars.
Pop divas.
Coming in. Yeah, pop divas coming in. I mean, I don't know if they knew what they were signing up to. I'm sure they were like, great, I'm going to be on the telly, can't wait. And then they open the hatch and go, who are these monsters? What is going on? What did I do to deserve this?
but, my agent. This is not what I signed up
for. My agent. I don't know why I'm here. double the money. But no, like, it was so much fun, actually, like just having time to see like these amazing pop stars come in and be like, oh my god, because some of these pop stars are people who inspire us as drag queens as well. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, we're just as shocked that they're here as you know, they are to see us, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's great, it's so much fun, it's so good.
So you had a great time filming it then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Exactly. It's one of those things like, you know, I think if you go in a bad mood, you're going to come out in the best mood. And if you go in being boring, then why are you there? Do you know what I mean? You should go in and be like, I can't wait to do it. I was so excited to do it. I was like dancing around the dressing room, getting ready. It's like, what are you doing? What am I going to do today? So, yeah, I was so excited.
Were there any queens that you hadn't met before that were doing the show?
There were a couple of queens. No, actually, I'd known everyone.
Really?
Yeah, I'd known everyone. Yeah, I'd either met everyone before, like, on the scene, or I'd obviously known people from, say, Drag Race America and whatnot. But I kind of knew everyone in my room, which was quite nice. And again, you know, it's quite nice, especially during COVID, when you've been locked up for so long. It's just nice to see some friends and be like, oh my God, how are you? You're alive?
Yeah.
and you're thinner. What's happened here? You're thinner and... What's going on here? So yes, it was nice just to see people and kind of, you know, have a laugh with them, have a sing song, which is what you would normally do if you're going out with mates. You would just do that, do you know what I mean? So yeah, that was a really nice touch.
So what's the tea? Did everyone get on, or was there any kind of... Was there any backstage drums?
Gosh, I feel like, don't want to say too much, because obviously you've got to watch it to really see if there's any dramas. I think there's a little bit of drama between a few of the queens. I mean, you can't put a whole bunch of queens in a room covered in glitter with gin and vodka and tequila involved and not expect someone to kick off. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get a good old, like, Love Island meets the gutters of a drag bar vibe. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely spot on.
That's what we want.
That's what ITV want when they signed you all up.
We need to point and laugh at people who aren't us. Do you know what I mean? That's what we want.
But you've obviously got loads of other stuff coming up as well. Like you said, you're doing a bit of stand-up now, and you're doing panto, you've got loads of stuff.
Yeah, so I've just come back from Denmark, as I said. I've just done an opera in Denmark.
Amazing.
Which was incredible. A big old kind of a LGBT, queer and quirky opera, which was incredible. I've got a week off, and then I go into rehearsals for Death Drop, which is going to be a UK tour, performing with Willem, Raja O'Hara, Cameron from Finance has just joined the cast as well. So it's a big cast. It's going to be a very big, loud cast of crazy queer people going, come to our show and find out who murdered someone.
Can you explain a bit about what the show is? Because not everyone knows.
Yeah, so it's basically a Dragatha Christie murder mystery play with songs and camp. Basically, that is really fun. I did it on the West End before Christmas, before we went into lockdown number 100. Yeah. And it was great. We had full houses every night and whatnot. But yeah, it's just a good old like drag version of those kind of typical murder mysteries. It's very silly, very crazy. But you know, it's very like mysterious, like who killed who. So yeah, so come on down if we're in your town, come on down for sure.
And when do you start touring with that, babe?
So we start the beginning of October. So our first venue is going to be the South End Palace. And then we go to Salford, we go to Dublin, we're going to Wales, and we end up in Birmingham at the end of the tour. So, yeah, it's going to be amazing. a great old time, I think, a great couple of months. And then panto the day afterwards. I literally bow and I go into the panto straight away. So, wow, she's busy.
Don't be complaining with those panto paychecks, though, babes.
Don't complain for me. Like, you know, I've been locked up in my house it feels like 50 years I've been locked up in my house. It's nice to just get out and do what I love doing, and wearing lots of different wigs and whatnot, and just being crazy insane. So yeah.
Who are you playing in panto?
So we're doing Treasure Island at Seven Oaks in Kent, and I play the magical mermaids, and I play the nice mermaid and the evil mermaid. So basically, I'm sure there'll be scenes where I'm kind of talking to myself, singing to myself, kissing myself. Who knows? You know. Do mermaids do that? I don't know. But yeah, so that's going to be the
live point. In your aerial fantasy. I love it.
Oh my god! Well, I can't swim either, so I'll be just sinking, going
slapping,
literally.
But yeah, you mentioned about like it must be so nice for you guys to be able to get out and perform after such a long time. Indoors.
Yeah, it's so funny because even in Denmark, I noticed that, you know, that people are so hungry for entertainment. Mm. And I think, you know, with the help of Drag Race and the help of these new things that are coming out, drag has definitely exploded. I think onto the mainstream for sure. And people are really hungry for entertainment, especially queer entertainment. Drag, I think, you know, it's literally touched theatre, film, TV, radio, you know, it's going all over the place. So I think people are so keen to kind of get out there and see performances and just be entertained. And I think it's great that we're kind of in the right place, right time to, you know, shove on a wig and just tell some jokes and sing some songs and just have a good time, because I think everyone's had a down time over the last couple of years. So now it's time to lift everyone up and help people get out of their, you know, dark patches that they might be in, you know. So we are here to help.
Amen.
100%, yeah. Well, can you also give us a little bit of an opinion of what you think of Drag Race Season 3? What have you seen and heard? Or
yeah, so I'm actually really excited because I know a few of the girls who are going on. My best mate Veronica Crean is back. She's COVID free, thank God.
A bit shit if she still wasn't COVID free.
Well, the thing is, you know, this is the thing, you know, she on the main stage she couldn't taste and she couldn't smell, so she's up for isolation, and that was the deal with Veronica Green, basically. So now she's back. So I'm excited to see her back on the telly. But I know, like, Kiki's Got Claws, I know, mm-hmm. Ella Bidet, so I know a few of the girls. I've heard there's some drama as well, like all the kind of like the YouTubers are going, there's drama with Season 3, so I'm excited just to see if there's actually any drama in this season. Again, to point and laugh, we like to do that.
Exactly.
So yeah, but I'm excited that there's another season. I think it's great that the show is growing as well in the UK, and people are excited and people are really kind of accepting us weird, crazy people into their homes every week and into their lives, and looking at us is like, yeah, this is stuff we can get on board with. So I'm excited to see who wins, who doesn't, who fails, who succeeds. I just want it all. I want everything.
Have you heard any rumors? Do you know?
I haven't got a clue. I might know who might go in certain places, but I will not say who or when. But I might know who goes first, who goes second and third. And who might be...
You basically know the whole thing. You just don't want to get sued, Vinegar, right?
I don't want to get sued. I haven't got any cash to get sued with. They can take my Funko Pop if they like. So, yeah.
Wait until that Panto paycheck comes in. That's what I'm saying. Vinegar, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with your gig this evening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
So nice.
So nice.
The best. Yeah, and so good to see that she's doing so well with all of the stuff coming up for her. Like,
keeping busy. The thing is, when people start talking about Panto, I think we were saying a couple of weeks ago, we're definitely at that point in the year now where Christmas isn't a million miles away.
Yeah, this is it. This is it, babes. We've got to start thinking about
this
Christmas.
This is the final, present. Is it called the final Hurlon?
Hurdle.
Yeah, final
furlong.
Both. It's the hurdle and the furlong. It's the final, basically. So, yeah, countdown. But I think she'll be fantastic as a mermaid, though.
Yeah, I mean, fab. I really want to see a panto this year. It's been many years, so maybe I'll treat myself.
I used to love a panto.
Yeah, me too. Well, maybe this year will be the year. Guess what?
Back in the theatre.
Well, next up, we have Joe McKeldry. So let's get him in.
Let's do it. Hello, Joe. How you been, babe?
I'm all right. I'm good, thank you. Very well. How about you?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Pleasure, pleasure.
What have you been up to, Joe?
It's been a strange one, I suppose, coming out of lockdown, because I released a new single 2 weeks ago, which was great. New single came out called I Am an Army, and then we did some socially distant shows coming out of the lockdown, and then now just obviously gearing up to do the full blown tour Back to Normal, which starts on the 23rd of September. So yeah, it's weird, because it's like all of a sudden we've spent so long like in the house, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, we're actually going to do this. This is happening.
Are you excited to get back on stage and do the tour, Joe? Or are you a bit nervous? It's been a little while.
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited, you know, and obviously like for me and my kind of side of work, and I suppose for most people really, you know, it's been such a like fast changing, 1 minute something's happened, then it's not. So at the moment, like I'm still in that kind of denial phase of like, yeah, I probably won't end up doing it, but it's very fast approaching and it's happening. So as long as I'm allowed to be there, I will be there. I can't wait. And I've done a lot of online shows through lockdown and stuff. So I have performed. So I feel ready. I just haven't been in front of an audience, you know, like face to face, which is apart from the ones we've just done. But I am really excited. Like there's nothing better than just celebrating music with people in the same room. That's what it's all about. So I'm really excited.
And one of the things that you've done really successfully since X Factor is, I mean, you're always touring, really, aren't you? Obviously, until recently, you're doing shows, you're doing, you know, different bits and bobs. It must have been quite hard for you to have had all of that just put, like, the rug pulled from under you, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been in the same boat, though, haven't we? Like, whether it's your job or whether it's seeing friends and family, like, everybody's been so restricted on what they've been able to do that it almost made it a little bit easier that everybody was in the same boat, because you could sympathise with other people, they could sympathise with you. But one thing that I am glad is that I've missed my job, so it must mean that I really enjoy it, you know? Can you imagine if I had got to the end of lockdown and be like, oh my God, I don't want to go back and do this. So,
thank God for that's over with, yeah.
So I feel lucky to be going back to do it, you know, because, I think it's also important to say that a lot of people think that the industry is fully back, and it's not, you know, it's still, there's many hurdles for the entertainment industry still to cross over as we kind of slowly go back into normality. So I feel lucky that we're, you know, able to do the first kind of steps, and it will still be different, but we'll make it fun. It's going to be great.
Definitely. Joey, was announced recently that X Factor won't be coming back. How do you feel about that? Someone who's been on the show and obviously like massive part of your life.
I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I suppose, like everybody else, I was a huge fan before I went on the show. I continue to be a huge fan after the show. I do think they did kind of chop and change the format so much towards the end that it was hard to follow it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe is one of the reasons, and I'd said that quite a few years back, you know, if it's not spoilt, why fix it, you know? And I think they tried to get a little bit too clever with the format, which I think maybe it became a little bit too cruel with all that six chair challenge thing and telling people they were through and then they weren't. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be back in some form at some point. So, and I'm forever thankful for the platform. Sorry.
I've caught my breath.
It's not cool, but I've caught my breath.
Yeah, everyone says that. Everyone says that, Joe.
You have to. It's like a disclaimer.
Yeah, totally.
Isn't it? Whenever you cough in public, like, hey, COVID.
I've done a lap flow. What can we expect from the tour?
Well, obviously, we've released two new singles since I was last on tour. So there's new music, obviously, to perform that I haven't performed live yet. Some of the old favourites. I'm going to do a few kind of different covers that I've never done before. I think this year, the whole format of a normal tour, if you'd release stuff or it had a theme and everything, this tour was supposed to be last year. It's been rescheduled 3 times. So I think we've gone through about 3 different tour names in the space of 7 months. So I think in a way it allows us to just kind of have real fun with the show. There's not really a format that we need to follow. And, I think I just want to create a vibe that people, you know, they can come, they can feel relaxed. It's great to be back in a venue again and just sing along and clap along and dance if they want to get up and dance. And just, it's all about the fun this year, I think, because we've all missed it and that's what's needed.
Yeah, and it's long overdue. Like I said, I think so many people just want to go and see people sing live. It's so important, isn't it? And I just think for things to be slowly opening up again now, and now shows, even if we have to, whatever the rules are, the fact that we're able to do it, I think, is just a massive step forward.
Such a relief for people. You know, I went to see Mary Poppins the other night in the West End.
Oh.
I just sat, and like, I didn't realise it until the end, but I just literally sat for 2 hours just smiling at the stage. You know, it's just such a happy show, and the music and the talent on the stage. And I got to the end and the curtain came down and I was just kind of staring at the stage smiling.
Your cheeks hurting, they're starting to wobble.
And I just thought, that's what it's supposed to do. You know, it's supposed to make people feel things, and it's a release for people. So, you know, I know that obviously, like I said before, I've done the online shows through lockdown and they've been wonderful, but it's so much better to have the connection with people in the room, you know, and be able to see people's reaction right there in front of you and see them, you know, maybe get sad about a song, then get really excited about another song, up, hands up in the air, all of that. So I can't wait.
And there's something quite emotional about being in a theatre, isn't it? I went to see a show, I think last weekend or the weekend before, and I actually sat there like you, and I just thought, oh my God, I've missed this so much.
Yeah, and being around people, you know, like, you know, for me, obviously, like, we've done concerts throughout lockdown and we did socially distant outdoor things last year and things, which was wonderful, you know, and making the best of a bad situation. But to just go into a theatre the other night and just see everybody just sat full enjoying theatre again, I was like, God, like, you'll never take that for granted again. You know, it's such a strange perspective to now have.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a little bit of a bit of sad news, and we actually touched about it at the top of the show about Sarah Harding. I don't know if you, about her obviously passing away earlier this week. I know obviously you were mentored by Cheryl back in the day. Did you ever meet Sarah or have any interactions with her?
I did actually. She came down to X Factor quite a bit. Sorry, I've really caught my breath. Somebody caught
me. Don't worry.
She came down to X Factor quite a few times, and I got to meet her a few times in the dressing room and that, you know, and then at the kind of industry events that you go to. She was always such a charming, wonderful girl. So honestly, you know, I'd kind of heard that she was really ill, and, you know, but it still doesn't make it any less of a shock, you know, and just what such a young age, so tragic, you know, so it's so sad, so, so sad.
Do you keep in touch with Cheryl, Joe?
I mean, it's not like we don't not keep in touch. I think it's just we haven't spoke for a few years now, but I suppose you have to be careful when you say that because everybody thinks you've had some kind of vicious
feud. There might be no Barney, no feud.
I think it's just life's busy, you know. We're both busy. We're both off doing different things. We're both in different stages of our lives. She's got a child now and doing her own thing and vice versa. And it, but if I saw her tomorrow, we would have the best catch up. Like, we would have a big hug and there's no, like, malice or anything like that. It's just, you know, I think people forget as well. We had a great connection on the show, but I was actually we were only around each other for, like, 12 weeks. But I think in people's minds, it's like made into this big thing, like, oh, they're really best friends. But I've got nothing but love for her.
What have you made of all of the recent claims about the exploitation from the show? I know that Rebecca Ferguson, Katie Waisel, there's been some controversy around the show. What have you made of those claims?
I mean, I think, you know, it's no secret that the X Factor is a hell of a machine and a formula. And it's, you know, I've said this in the past and I went through my own journey with the show of kind of leaving the first management company and almost starting over again, really, about 3 years after I won the show and kind of setting everything up in-house and setting up a company and so that I had that creative control. So I've gone through my own issues in that many, many years ago. And I've said for many, many years that not just on X Factor, but on any reality TV show where you are plucking somebody from a relatively normal life of nothing to do with show business, there has to be aftercare that is not a part of the actual TV show. It has to be separate people that don't have an interest in the financial kind of, you know, benefits of that. Because if you have an aftercare team that work for the TV show, then their interests are the TV show, not the individual, you know? Yeah. So I definitely think on all forms of reality television, there needs to be better protection for people, because I was lucky, you know, that I had a great family background to support me, and, you know, and I adjusted to it relatively well with its ups and downs. But some people struggle with it and find it really difficult. And I think there should be that help there for people. If you've been given that platform from a big corporation or a company, it is their, in my opinion, their responsibility to protect you in a way.
Do you keep in touch, Joe, with anyone from your series?
Who have I spoke to recently? I spoke to Jedward not long ago.
They're all over TikTok now, aren't they? Blimey, I see them all the time.
Who else? I spoke to Rachel Aladeji a couple of weeks back, actually. We had a little text exchange. I've seen Stacey when I've been on Loose Women. I haven't spoke to Ollie for a while. I think it's hard, isn't it? Because we're all kind of just gone off and doing our own things. But we all went through such a, you know, I'm sure it's like with you, Bobby, with Towie. Like, everybody understands that. Nobody understands that process until you've been through it with those people. And you're always kind of connected in that way. Do you know what I mean? Even if you don't speak to them that much.
Absolutely, because your lives change together. Like you say, no one else would ever. And if you don't see each other from 1 week, month, or year to the next, you'll always have that. I completely get what you mean.
Interesting. It's interesting that they're saying it doesn't matter what show you come from. There's a similar setup. And you've actually done a couple of reality shows as well, haven't you, Joe? Is there any sort of left on your list that you'd like to do? Do you think, or are you done with reality now?
I would love to do Strictly, honestly. I would absolutely, like...
Have they ever had an X Factor winner on Strictly? I don't know if they have.
I think Alessandra Burke did it.
She did.
She was fantastic on it. I would love... That is the one show... I don't really get jealous of... Like, whenever I'm watching the telly, most of the time I watch most of the reality shows and think, God, I could think of nothing worse than being in that position right now. Because you know how it feels. Like, you know the anxiety that it brings and stressful and all of that comes with it. The one show that I always watch and think, oh, my God, I am so jealous is Strictly. It just looks like so much fun. And dressing up in them costumes. And in my mind, I do think that I dance like Beyonce, although that is probably not true.
That is a high level. You're setting yourself up there, Joe, if they ever do ask.
Aim high is what I say.
You mentioned when you look at reality TV show, you feel the anxiety. When you look back at your time on X Factor, did you suffer with anxiety and kind of like your mental health when you was on the show?
I think for me, and I was actually just talking to a friend about this. I was at a barbecue a couple of days ago, and a friend was asking about when I came out on the show, you know, well, after the show. And they were like, oh, my God, you were just a baby. And, like, we all had, like, a little moment. We're sat in a garden, and we had, like, a little moment. We all got a little bit emotional, like, thinking about how young I was in that situation. Because I think at the time, me naivety just almost protected us in a way. It was actually a blessing in disguise. Because I look back now and I think, how the hell, like, I got through some of that stuff and, like, dealing with the nerves and dealing with coming out on such a public scale. And, like, and I look back now, I think, I don't think I could do that now as a 30-year-old. Like, I'd be an absolute mess. but maybe I suppose that's just as you get older, you realise the kind of the gravity of it all, you know, like the weight of what that actually is for a young person. So, but I was quite lucky that, I think because I was just young and excited to be doing what I was doing, I kind of just floated along nicely, luckily. I don't know how, but I just did somehow.
I think you're so right about the age thing. I mean, not quite the same as going out to millions of people on a Saturday night, but I look back to how I was when I was much younger. Even going to a theme park, I wouldn't think nothing about getting on rides.
Yeah.
And little things like that. And I think the older I get, I just have more of a, I don't know if it's an age thing or if I'm just cracking on a little bit. I'm like, oh,
you know, no, risk more. I think you understand risk as you get older, and you know whereas when you're younger, you don't know the consequences of the actions that you're taking, but you do as you get older, and you can look back. I think that's what it is, and you can look back and say.
And I always think as well, like you kind of tend to before, like when you're younger, you kind of just jump into a moment without thinking of it. And now, I think now is I kind of dissect a lot more things before I make a decision, especially a work thing. So, you know, like years ago, if somebody asked us to do something, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that. That's fine. Yeah, that's great. And then now I'm like, I think I'm going to need like 2 days to think about this and work out.
Work out your exit plan, Joe, is what you're trying to work out how to say no. I understand that. Well, Joe, it's been so nice to speak to you this evening. And we are going to play your song. So would you mind introing it?
Yes. This is my single, I Am an Army, and I hope you enjoy it.
I came this far with armoured heart and my head held high, grenades falling from the sky. And you beat your drum like a firing gun, but I hear no sound, the love beat out too loud. You know it all, you think it's right, you love the hurt, you want the fight, you try, but like a narrow shot, when it leaves the bow, you'll never know where I'm gonna go. I let it fly, the speed is mine, I walk and fly across the line. I know I'll run through your wild storm.
That was a really nice show.
Yeah, really good. What have you got coming up this week? Anything exciting?
So this week, more amazing behind-the-scenes stuff for Tao with the official after party. Back in the studio on Friday, filming again. Just so excited. I feel like that keep for the next 3 months, that'll be very much, very full-on, I think. As Tao is, everyone knows, I think, from the off already, there's drama.
Yeah.
So the more drama there is on the show, the busier I am in the studio, because everyone's going to be coming and talking about it and spilling the tea, which is what we want. Let's have it right. So, nice and busy, babes. How about yourself?
Well, this weekend I'm going to Manchester for the first time ever.
Oh, nice.
So I've got my first gig, my first, not post-pandemic, but, you know, sort of first gig. I haven't been to a gig in 2 years, not a proper one, indoors, standing, shouting and screaming. That would be really exciting, going with some friends for the weekend and just going to enjoy myself and you know, enjoy being somewhere new with new boys.
We all love Manchester. One of my favourite places.
I've only heard good things. So we're just trying to find some decent bars and stuff to go to and just enjoy.
Find yourself a nice northern man.
That's exactly what I want. That's exactly.
Nice manny man.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm sure he's really looking for a camp magazine radio presenter from London. But no, I'm just looking forward to kind of just partying and being with my friends somewhere different. It'll be really nice.
No, it'll be lovely.
Well, fabulous. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good luck with your filming this week, Bobby.
Thank you, babe. Enjoy Manchester.
I will do. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye.